You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. As well, you can hear these podcasts at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. There are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, which are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works, Volume 217A by Rudolf Steiner, translated by Catherine Krieger, entitled Youth and the Etheric Heart. Rudolf Steiner speaks to the younger generation, an assortment of essays and addresses to the young. This is Part 7, entitled Restructuring the Anthroposophical Society, Address and Discussion in Preparation for the Delegates' Assembly, given in Stuttgart on February 8, 1923. Rudolf Steiner. By now, at least a draft of a circular to the Anthroposophical Society is available as a basis for further discussion. It might be good if you would discuss your own wishes with the advisory committee that will be in place until the delegates meet. Unlike the former Committee of 30, this committee consists of representatives of existing establishments, not their entire membership. It includes two members of the old executive board, Mr. Leinhaus of Der Kommendetag and Dr. Unger, representing the remainder of the old board. The other members are Dr. Rittelmeier, representing the Movement for Religious Renewal, Wolfgang Wachsmuth, Mr. von Grona, Dr. Palmer, Dr. Kalisko, Ms. Mücke of the Philosophisch-Anthroposophischer Verlag, and Mr. Verbeck of Hamburg, who represents all other out-of-town interests. I have asked the seven Stuttgart members to work with you to take whatever steps you find necessary. I must leave for Dornach early tomorrow morning and will be back only on Monday. I regret not being able to take part in the next round of discussions, but I believe this is for the best. My absence should not make any difference. You can conduct discussions with these individuals on your own. They represent a full spectrum of the society's membership. Young people are represented by Mr. von Grona and Wolfgang Wachsmuth, whom I expect you will find sympathetic. They are complete newcomers to board membership. In addition, Dr. Palmer has stated his readiness to do everything possible to build bridges to young people. The appeal to the members of the Anthroposophical Society was drafted by those who have led the society up to now, and it contains the essence of what the society must say at this point. From February 25 to 28, delegates of the branches and groups will gather for a general assembly, which will be an opportunity to hear the full spectrum of views on restructuring the society. Our options are either to restructure the Anthroposophical Society or to dissolve it and found something completely new. Founding something new would have been easy in 1918, but now we are publicly involved in concrete developments we cannot pull out of, so the society will have to change from within. The society itself must become more open. We must make it impossible for individuals to feel constrained within it. I think we will be able to do this, but I would like to hear your thoughts on the subject. That it has taken us so long to get this far must be attributed to the deliberateness that comes with age. We would be happy to hear what you have to say right now. Comment from a participant. A young representative talks about the situation of younger people in the society, referring to what Dr. Steiner said about phases in the society's development in his last lecture to the Stuttgart branch. Rudolf Steiner. What you have said about partitions separating the first, second, and third phases of the movement, which are very different, is quite accurate. We must also consider the fact that each phase lasted approximately 7 years, and that the society itself is now in its 21st year. Clearly, the impulses that led earlier members to join and participate are not the same as the impulses at work in primarily academic youth circles. The people who joined during the first phase were motivated by completely unconscious longings and came with general human interests. They were unaware of their connection to contemporary circumstances, and were at an age when people tend not to be able to verbalize that connection with any degree of clarity. This was almost equally true of the second phase. Anthroposophy moved on, but anthroposophists, with some exceptions, were not especially interested in contemporary issues. For the early joiners, the third phase felt strange and uncomfortable. They were thrown in with newcomers who were dissatisfied not with contemporary circumstances in general, but with their very specific experiences in modern educational institutions. These newcomers came to anthroposophy because they felt out of place in the modern educational system, and their impulses were different from those of the early joiners, who saw anthroposophy in the contemporary context only to a very limited extent. I have often talked about anthroposophy in the context of our time, but very little of what I said sank in. You, however, arrived with longings that actually speak to the core of anthroposophy. And then there was a strange misunderstanding about our higher education courses. I do not mean to suggest that they are not valuable, but they were a misunderstanding. You were not looking at all for the content of these courses. You were looking for anthroposophy as such. Your wishes were misunderstood by the academics who joined the Anthroposophical Society in its earlier phases. They had wanted to merge their academic work with anthroposophy, but you did not accept that. As time passes, you will discover that you are not in conflict with the bulk of the Anthroposophical Society. Your conflict is really only with our academic members, who wanted to present anthroposophy through biology, chemistry, physics, or history. That is not what you want. You want pure anthroposophy. The academic element that infiltrated the society is like a mountain standing in your way. Getting to the other side of the mountain is both difficult and necessary for you. This situation is not unique to you. It is common to the society as a whole. I am sure this challenge can be overcome if there is goodwill on both sides. On the other hand, if we want to move ahead with our work, a bit of specialization will also be necessary. Comment from a participant. A participant talks about some wishes young people have with regard to restructuring work in the branches, especially lectures and reports. Rudolf Steiner interrupts. This little book by Albert Steffen about the educational course at the Goetheanum is very valid, because it reproduces the contents of my lectures in a truly artistic way. This is no mere journalistic report. It stands on its own. This is the first time such a thing has been done. We will see if it becomes common practice. It would be good if it did. The appeal to members will essentially make two points. It will emphasize, first, the need for internal work in the anthroposophical movement, and second, the need for the Anthroposophical Society to present a strong united front to fend off opponents as they appear, not with polemics, but with really relevant work in full view of the world. We cannot work effectively if one of us says one thing and someone else refutes it. If we do nothing about our opponents, anthroposophy will fail. Addressing our most important opponents does not give us access to the public. When the pan-German nationalist groups spread slanderous statements about anthroposophy among their membership, they are preaching to the choir. We have no way of reaching their audience. You have to know your audience. There are certain things you cannot say to a Catholic audience. If our rebuttals are wrong, they are wrong. But if they are right, they do not do us any good either. In fact, they harm us, at least among Catholics. As our work in higher education develops, people like Liza Gang will start coming out of the woodwork. I'm really concerned that the old reactionary forces are getting ever stronger. When we first established the Hochschulbund, Federation for Higher Education, the chances of holding back these old forces were much greater than they are now. I am afraid that you are going to endure a great deal of hardship. But even if anthroposophy is killed, it will rise again, because it is a necessity. Either the earth has a future, or it does not. And the earth's future is inseparable from Anthroposophy. If Anthroposophy has no future, humanity as a whole will not have a future either. The intention alone is enough. Disseminating Anthroposophy can take place in different stages. I believe that it is imperative for you to get over the mountain I described earlier, and to do so in a peaceful manner and to the benefit of the society. If we successfully refute their antagonistic statements, it simply makes them angry. Being in the right harms our cause, perhaps more so than being in the wrong. Antagonism of this sort can be diffused only through positive work, by making ourselves as strong as others are. Dr. Riddlemeyer recently said, as I myself have often pointed out, quote, "We have no idea how potentially inflammatory the situation is out there." Close quote. In the near future, this antagonism toward us will be expressed in terrible ways. We must present a united front. All of our movement's positive manifestations, such as the movement for religious renewal, actually put the society at risk. No one had expected us to enter this field. Comment from a participant. A participant talks about changing young people's relationship to the society. Rudolf Steiner. Keep in mind that old, historically mature cultural streams require very different soul attitudes than do young movements. We simply cannot imagine anymore how difficult it was to be a Christian in the early centuries of Christianity. Nowadays, being a Christian is easy. When I say it was difficult, I am not referring to the possibility of martyrdom, but simply to the inner personal difficulties. It was difficult to see oneself as a Christian. Today, in a certain sense, it is equally difficult to be a good anthroposophist. Our long-time members have carried the burden of being associated with an emerging spiritual movement, and this difficulty is reflected in their entire soul attitude. As a result, they are less understanding of certain phenomena. Those who have been anthroposophists for longer than you, young people, sometimes talk at cross-purposes when they speak to you. I recently encountered a very blatant example of this. These friends had had discussions with you, and after the meeting, they all felt that the gap had been bridged, and that everyone understood each other down to the last detail. They were quite sincere in feeling this way. The mood among you was quite different. You felt that no meeting of the minds had occurred, and were ready to go out and organize the opposition. This situation reflects how easily one can succumb to illusion concerning the circumstances of life, when one is in a certain way of life that I have characterized. Being an anthroposophist is hard, and it is also hard to overcome a certain rigidity. These people are sincere in taking illusion for reality. You, on the other hand, approach the situation with a certain freshness of soul, so you are less likely to have these illusions than someone who is already tired. Many of us are tired, worn down by the difficulties we have faced. That is why there has been so much talking at cross purposes. Comment from a participant. A participant talks about his original plan to redirect forces that are being used, especially by young people, to oppose Anthroposophy and to organize them for productive purposes. Rudolf Steiner. We need to take a realistic look at some of these things. Somewhere in the future, the educational facilities you imagine must exist. Meanwhile, however, even if all of our hopes for the future are still nothing more than seeds, it is not right for higher education to be a mockery of what it should be. I am really concerned about how far we have to go. The whole system of higher education is in bad shape. A century ago, at least, it presented a unitary worldview, but that is long gone, and with it any sense of human dignity. Mr. Leisegang, who aspires to become a full professor and probably soon will, has just published the first volume of a work on Plato. Never mind how he treated me. He treats Plato much worse. He makes a caricature of Plato, but people do not notice. You know, what really concerns me is how far we are from being able to create a college. Comment from a participant. A participant tells of a prison camp where the prisoners created a college as an example of how to create a college for spiritual science. Rudolf Steiner. We cannot establish a college today because the first prerequisite is to have scholars available to serve as instructors. We have the ideas, we have thought about how to get started, but it would be difficult to establish a completely new and different way of educating people as long as the people who work in our movement have to starve, to put it bluntly. It is getting more difficult by the day because inflation is making it almost impossible to pay salaries. For purely spiritual reasons, I must take every opportunity to emphasize two things. First, we must work with great intensity to become as strong as possible. Second, we must spend all our energy on increasing the size of our circle of friends. Current circumstances make the numbers important. On the spiritual level, the opposite must be true, of course, but in view of current circumstances, this is how it is. Expanding our circle need not happen at the expense of superficiality, but we must make every effort to have a sufficient number of friends. If we do not, individuals in our movement as such may not survive. That is simply how it is. As young people, you must not be afraid of being as strong as you can in order to achieve the expansion we need. Comment from a participant. A participant talks about how difficult it is to communicate with older people. Rudolf Steiner. All judgments aside, the lack of understanding is mutual. That older people are the way they are is not their fault. It is their destiny. But the resistance of young people to their elders is simultaneously a means of protection and a weakness. Become geniuses at being interested. The end of part 7.